At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yesterday, in a text thread with GBC, Ellen said that she was having some scheduling issues. And then she said, after this, we can go back to our regular Tuesdays at 11, like we were doing before. And I was like, I literally went into our Patreon and looked back. I was like, have I lost my mind? Or
in some world, I thought we proclaimed.
I think we recorded once on a Tuesday at all. It was like 1 p.m.
There's a lot of things you can say about me, but
yeah,
the fact that I don't create an alternate narrative in an alternate universe, that's just not one of them, because I do that. I do that. And you know what? Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
I am so fucking excited about this episode today. This episode is so bananas off the fucking wall.
Everything is crazy. Everything is crazy and off the wall. You know what's great? You know, sometimes people say Joey and I go off topic. Number one, we go off topic because if we didn't, we could recap the show in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, we're there to like make you laugh and lighten the mood, right?
Yeah.
But this show, I'm like, I'm going to start a whole new podcast within a podcast.
There's no facts that we need to fucking get straight on this. It's not like we have to be like, and then on the 18th of February, 1776.
Someone check that. Was it the 18th or the 19th? I need a fact check ASAP.
Oh, it's a good thing I put that little tiny bit of powder on my nose. It made all the difference.
That's transformative.
By the time this comes out, two things will have happened.
Okay.
We will have had Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to everybody. And do not come at me with the,
what if you don't have a mother? What if you're not a mother? What if you were a gay man and you have a...
Then it doesn't apply to you. That's it. It just doesn't apply to you. So move on. And my son turned 11.
Oh, Montenegro. I love it.
Get out of town. Yeah.
That's beautiful. How does he feel to be 11 and he's that much closer to impregnating a woman?
Yeah. He's not that excited about it. I don't know that he's ever going to impregnate a woman.
Do you think he's gay?
He just seems not interested at all.
Well, I mean, he is 10. That's fine.
Well, that's not true. He has looked some things up online.
Oh, yeah. Didn't he look up lesbians kissing or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he also looks up pregnant ladies. So who knows?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Maybe he's going to be an obstetrician for lesbian couples.
Great. I love that for him. Whatever. You know what? He doesn't have to have an interest. He's 10.
Exactly.
My uncle used to ask Lola when she was like 5 or 6. Lola, you got a boyfriend? What's your boyfriend's name?
Ew.
All the time. All the time. I was like, uncle, don't say that. Oh, come on. She's got a little friend. You got a little boyfriend on the playground. I was like, what are you talking about?
Gross.
It's so very strange to you. Did you see my new tattoo?
You showed me last night. It's so nice. I like it.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Anyway, you're on the struggle bus today.
I'm taking my pants off. I'm less on the struggle bus than I was yesterday. Yesterday was rough. I'm not going to lie. Yesterday was not great.
Okay. I'm not putting my feelings on you. I am empathizing and just saying you get a pass because I would like to hearken back to the weddings when I was sobbing. So you feel all your feelings. I'm just happy you're here.
Okay. I just took my pants off. I will say that when Nick and Wine Danielle meet in this episode, I started to cry and I was like, okay, I'm in trouble. But now all my feelings have turned off again, so I'm great.
Yeah. I just had a huge cry in therapy, so I felt great. Let's dive in. Season 2, episode 2. What's the title?
Love Triangles. And there are quite a few.
Season 2, episode 2, Love Triangles. I prefer a rhombus. Take it away, Daisy.
We pick back up with Nick and Danielle in their antechambers. They sum up the point of the fucking show again. Hey, we met in a pod. It happened really fast. Who would have ever thought this would ever happen to me?
You know, it's funny because on I Think Not and Rabia, we kind of have to do the same spiel all the time. You know, introduce who we are, introduce this, because you never know who's listening to their first episode. Here's our Patreon. So I get that.
But if you're going to jump into season 2, episode 2, and then you're going to DM us that you're confused, that's on you.
Yeah, that's on you. Who would be like, you want to start in the middle? All in favor for the middle? Raise your hand.
There is a podcast called Behind the Bastards, and I've tried several times now to listen to it. It's like sort of political, and they never introduce themselves, ever. Ever?
Are they successful?
No.
Oh, I mean, you have to pretend like it's somebody's first episode. Like, here's our socials. Your normal listeners know they can tune out for that bit.
Yeah. They just start talking, and I'm like, who am I listening to? Why is your opinion something I'm seeking out?
Yeah. Oh, idiots.
So Danielle tells us that Nick is her best friend, which, listen, I'm more likely to believe that you fell in love in 10 days than you made a best friend in 10 days.
Could you imagine going to your best friend and being like, hey, can I, do you have like 5? I have replaced you.
Sorry. Did you see that meme that was the woman standing at the altar saying, today I marry my best friends, with her 5 bridesmaids who just planned her fucking bachelorette party and her shower and her party and her presents, standing there like, what?
Yeah. I don't agree with that. You're my best friend. No, you're the one I want to stick it in for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I don't want to stick it in my best friend.
I can't really back this up with any evidence, but I think that my best friends have always known a teensier more than my partner.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean?
We're not going to put that on a spreadsheet, so we won't fact check it. I would assume that that's probably correct.
Yeah.
The doors open and Danielle says, oh my God. And she kind of like jogs toward Nick, who has the goofiest walk of a human being that I've ever seen.
Remember, he gets the new legs. It's the new legs syndrome.
His shoulders are slumped forward and he looks like an ape.
It has an orangutan feel. It does. It's like the producer's like, real quick, come on, put on these new legs real fast before you go out. Yeah, I haven't quite to go. It's very orangutan-like. And he also says that he has spent countless hours talking. He can't even count.
No, but we could. We can count them.
What you do is you take the amount of days and you probably go back to the schedule that Netflix put you on. And then you're like, I had 5 hours that day. And then you carry the one.
Oh, it was 12 hours. We talked for 12 hours, which is not countless.
It is not countless.
It's actually one date.
Yeah. Countless is the amount of mistakes I make in a day, you know.
Exactly. They hug and they kiss each other. And that's where I cried. He's like, you're beautiful. And she goes, you're beautiful. And I was like, I gotta go.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to double check all of the milligrams?
Yeah, no, it's not good. It's probably why my husband yesterday after I unloaded on him was like, you seem off today. And I was like, you seem dead. You seem almost dead because I'm about to murder you.
I'll be your alibi.
She was nervous that he wouldn't think she was cute. She tells him she used teeth whitener twice today. She says, I'm so awkward. It's just her insecurities are, it's like she's got a megaphone right now. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Wait like 5 minutes. Wait 5 minutes before we unload the insecurities. Also, I feel like she overestimated the capability and the commitment that her slit had to the dress. I feel like she wasn't quite ready for national TV. I feel like she underestimated the fabric.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was like AD's wedding dress.
Yeah, it was just bedazzled.
Yeah, it was. We could see all the way up into her cervix.
Also, she's like kissing him.
Uh-huh.
And he's just sort of receiving the kisses.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Ugh.
Like, they're not hard, but she's just like, kiss, kiss. And he's like, uh-uh. It's not like, kiss, kiss.
Yeah. I wonder if he's just trying to, like, see her. I've never seen more awkward kissing than in the Tunnel of Love in this show.
I never knew that I was triggered by bad kissing as much as I am. I have so many notes.
Yeah, so many, so many. She can't wait to go to Mexico. I mean, girl, same. Like, fucking when?
Yeah.
Do I need to sign up for a reality show to get a vacation? Is that what I'm learning?
Seems reasonable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you maybe point me in the direction of some? That would be great.
Yep. I will put that on my to-do.
Thanks.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Back in the quarters, everyone's eating and putting on makeup and walking on the treadmill and just getting ready for their whatever the fuck. Haseeb, 28, lawyer, asks Salvador if he's ever grown a beard. And Sal's like, nah, I can't grow a very good beard. And Haseeb tells him, hey, you're a very attractive guy. And if you grew a beard, game over.
Now, that could have so many connotations. Does that mean, like, game over, I'm gonna tap that ass because I'm a little gay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does that mean game over, the women will be all over you?
Uh-huh. Also, is it a compliment or are you saying, like, you've got a lot of acne scars? If you grew a beard, they'd be cut. Like, is he making a passive-aggressive, what is that called, an underhanded compliment? But I have to say that I agree. I think most men's faces are improved when they're completely covered up and I can't see them at all.
Well, I think yes and no. I feel like you're personalizing that because I know you're only attracted to Kurt when he has a beard. You've said this on that podcast. Don't look at me like I'm telling a secret because I'm not. You've said it. When he doesn't have a beard, you're like, I'm not going to fuck you.
He said the other day that he was going to shave his beard and I was like, no, you're not.
You're like, and then guess what? Guess what's closed down for business? This pussy.
That ass, though.
This pussy is closed.
So now Jarrett and Ayana are on a date, and he says he doesn't know how it's working, but it is working. And Ayana says she feels more certain about him every time they talk. And then she's like, have we had a sex talk yet? So they have a little bit of a sex talk. He asks if she's affectionate, and she says she can be, but she's not a big maker-outer.
What is happening?
I know. And he's like, you don't like to kiss? And she says she's creeped out by saliva. She says, like, the enzymes eat your teeth, and so she doesn't want your enzyme. Do you know that we've probably already talked about this, but they figured out that the reason that we kiss like that is to taste each other's basically immune systems to see if we're, like, a match?
I heard that. Yeah, I've read that when I was in medical school.
Oh, right, right.
Who doesn't like to kiss? I mean, kissing especially. First of all, she's like, I mean, 5 minutes max. Making out when you're that, like, first or fifth makeout, when you're just like, I could do this forever.
Yeah, forever. Yeah, yeah.
Especially when it's just hot and good and you're just like, yeah, let's just make out.
Yeah.
Then maybe I don't think you've done making out good.
Yeah, she probably hasn't had a good maker outer. So then they kind of joke, like, all right, so if we're at 4 minutes and 30 seconds, you're gonna tell me to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I really hope that he is not into kissing, because I think she's, like, very clear about it, you know what I mean? And this feels like a big thing.
I think that's a big thing. If someone were to say, I'm not into making out, you know, how long have you guys been together?
A million years.
I get that doesn't happen, but I think that's kind a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
I don't like making out. She's allowed to feel the way she feels.
Sure, sure. But I hope that he really takes that into consideration and puts it on the list of the pros and cons of which one to pick.
Right. We'll find out more information later. And so I respect her boundaries. And you know what? There is so many levels of the spectrum of asexuality. People who are not really driven by sex. There are just people who it's not as big of a factor.
Right. And it's like, if someone is telling you that, up front, listen to it and take note because it's important.
Totally. Sexual chemistry is so important.
But we're going to learn later on in this episode that there are lots of things that people tell each other that the other one just decides to ignore. Jared tells us in confessional that his number one changes every day. Yesterday it was Mallory, today it's Ayana. So now we see Jared and Mallory on a date and he comes in singing. And I swear to God, Ellen, he almost sang Legally Blonde. Are you proud of me?
How do you know that, though?
Because I know, oh my God, you guys, there's just one left, and it's just my side. And I love another, and I have a boo. I burn in the sun of a falling you.
What?
Can I just have 2 minutes? I'm just going to mute. Mm-hmm. 1 second. I just need 2 minutes.
Okay.
Sorry. It's not an emergency, but I just, like, want to make sure.
Okay.
Can you connect me to the Tony Commission? Ellen Marsh, thank you so much.
They knew who you were?
Hi, this is Ellen Marsh. Oh my God, thank you. Yes, thank you. I think not. Yeah, yeah. What was that? Yeah, Ravi and Ellen solved the case. Thank you. That is so sweet of you. So I have this other podcast with Daisy Egan. Yes, Martha. Can we? Is there like a petition to like take her Tony away? It's just that like it's gotten bad. Yeah, just everything. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. I will email it to you. I do have the video. Okay, I have to run. Yeah. No, actually taken away. I think you should take it away and strip it from her, and she should be removed from all PR. Okay, love you too. Bye. Sorry, I just had to, that was my plumber.
Oh, okay. Your plumber's named Tony?
Anyway, sorry?
Your plumber's named Tony Committee? Oh, he's Italian.
Yeah. So anyway, back to kissing.
No, back to Legally Blonde.
Yes. He walks in and he does sing Legally Blonde. Jared has a dream about Mallory. And do you know what I think?
How do you have a dream about somebody you don't know what they look like?
Yeah, you didn't. This is a line. This is a conversation starter.
Yucky.
You didn't have a dream about Mallory.
But what I thought was interesting, now that you're pointing out the obvious that this was a lie, I'm like, wow, it's kind of cool that she was getting fitted for a suit. I wonder if he was about to say wedding dress and then realized like how psychotic that sounded. And so he switched it to business suit.
That's actually such a good point.
Hey, you were getting fitted for a really nice business suit.
Yeah, it was very strange. I didn't buy it for a minute. He's digging Mallory. And then he says, I think a little bit soon and a little abruptly, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Do you like gold or silver for your wedding ring?
Yeah.
That's where we're there.
Yeah, it's quick. And then we have a boring discussion about jewelry. I wrote, honestly, I watched this scene and I couldn't tell you what the hell they talked about.
First of all, he says it doesn't matter what she looks like. Untrue. Categorically untrue. Everyone stop saying that.
Also, you're on a reality show. You know she's going to be at least
a six.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Okay. It matters. People need to stop saying that. Your affection for someone can grow over time. I know lots of people that were like, I wasn't attracted to him at first.
Yeah.
Looks matter. I'm not saying only pretty people, but everybody has a type. Everybody has something. Don't say that. It's a lie when you say that.
So now Mallory and Sal are on a date and she explains that she made herself a cocktail and he's like, ooh.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Daisy Aloysius.
Ooh, what kind of cocktail did you make? And she goes, oh, it's just some tequila and orange juice. Bitch, you're having tequila and orange juice. Knock it off.
Tequila
and orange juice. Why didn't you say tequila and jugo de l'orange? Fuck, it is in Spanish.
I'm just having a tequila and OJ. It sounds so weird. I love the Spanish language. I love any language. I love listening to other languages. But you don't just get to like pop it in there because you're saying the word tequila. You sound like a dodo bird.
That is actually the call of the dodo bird is tequila, tequila, tequila. She wants to play Never Have I Ever, which is the most annoying game in the world.
Double negative is you're like, never have I ever. Wait, so I don't drink if I did it. Yeah,
I did do it. So I do drink. I don't drink. I do drink. And then you're getting drunk. So it's like, I don't even know what you're saying anymore.
Yeah, ask me questions. Just say like, do you like it up the butt? Yes or no?
Can I just drink? Can we just drink and talk? Could that be a thing that we do? And she clearly is doing this to tell him some things, right?
Totally. It's totally a tactic.
So she says, never have I ever had sex with someone of the same sex. And he hasn't, but she has. And Did you notice there was zero discussion about her sexuality after that?
Yeah. He was like, listen, I do play the ukulele and I do sing opera. I am not gay. I don't do gay things. I know.
But could you imagine if he had said, yes, I've had sex with a man, and they just moved on the way they did with Mallory saying she's had sex with a woman?
Maybe it was edited out. So Salvador doesn't care about Mallory's sexuality. On we go.
It's not so much that. My point was, a woman can say that she's fucked another woman and everyone's like, hey, sexy, spicy. But if a dude is like, oh yeah, I've had sex with another dude, they'd be like, okay, now we have to have a discussion.
Yeah. Can I get in on that?
Can I get some of your butthole action? Then she says that she never had sex in a public place. He hasn't had sex in a public place. Porn. They've both watched porn.
Oh.
What?
I watched porn.
Yeah.
Yay, I watched porn.
Oh, he has tattoos that represent him and his siblings, and that was making me think of you and your star tattoos.
Yeah, my birth order tattoo.
I love that.
Very cute.
She has a tattoo of, like, a tree under her tit.
It's a tree of life, Daisy.
Well, she's like, it's a tree of life. It's sort of a family tree. Yeah, it's probably just, like, the giving tree.
The giving tree.
It's like one of those Lorax trees. Back in the women's quarters, Natalie is poring over her notes and just fucking agonizing. She's got her head in her hands. She's like, what am I going to do? And Shayna is laying on the sofa, dreamily staring off into space, wistfully, I'm sure, thinking about Shane and his voice, which I swear to God, if I had to live with listening to that voice.
It is so much. Well, basically, it's like the two loves of Shane's life. And if they only knew, behind those pod walls was the star of the Buddy Holly story.
I mean, I don't understand. He talks like this.
It's just, he's so unappealing.
It's like Beavis and Butthead mixed with Crush. And listen, Natalie is in the pod with Shane. Shane is really thinking about the work that he did in Lethal Weapon, feeling really proud about leaving that legacy in Hollywood movie history. And Natalie said, there's nobody else for her but Shane.
Nobody else.
But what happened yesterday was really hard. Remember that he mistook her for Shayna. I can't decide if she's overreacting or not. I sort of see both sides. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I can see both sides. I think what he did was so fucking stupid. But I also think maybe it was because he said, what are you wearing? And she's just like grossed out by it. But it's not that off the wall to think that he might mistake her.
You know, I get the idea of being like, I know you're dating other people, but then just kind of having that be super real for a moment feels weird. But then going back and being like, I mean, I signed myself up for this experiment.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something you need to sleep off. And so I feel like if I were to make a decision, you know, like I was pressured to being like, do you think she's overreacting? I think she was well within her rights that day. And then the next day you should be like,
it's fine.
Don't you think?
Yeah. And I think she does that, right? Like she's like, I needed a second, but now it's you. And Shane is so excited. He's like, bruh, like, what can I say to make you believe that I'm like fully in this?
Yeah.
And then he clearly just says to her something that somebody told him to say. He's like,
look, I wish I could like hold you and hug you right now and like make sure you're okay.
Yeah, I just want you to know that I'm like fully in this, okay? Look on that cart over there, okay? Do you see? I got production to get you a rent.
From the centerpiece in the men's quarters. He didn't even, he just picked up a dying rose from the centerpiece.
Okay, you know what? Okay, we love a frugal king, okay?
And listen, that rose symbolizes my love for you. Listen, you're amazing. Okay, granted, I haven't done any solid movie work probably in 20 years. I was on Big Brother UK, but I love you. And then he's like, I got a question. Will you be my girlfriend?
He asks her to be his girlfriend.
He says,
I want to focus on us, and that's it. Will you be my girlfriend?
Listen, I came here. I came here for a girlfriend. And hopefully to figure out what's going on with my top lip.
My top lip is very tight, and I can't close it. My mouth is very dry.
It's going to be crazy to make out with this. Ayana would only offer me a solid 5 minutes.
Ew. I never even considered having to make out with somebody.
Oh, I always look at people's mouths. I always look at people's mouths and think about kissing. Like, if I'm attracted to them and they have, like, no upper lip or, like, no... I always am like, I don't want to kiss that.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me.
She says she couldn't be happier. And he's just like,
meta.
Natalie then walks into the women's quarters where Shayna, who's wearing the most hideous gold chain link necklace thing that I've ever seen in my life, is immediately not minding her own business. Natalie walks in and Shayna goes, what happened? What, did you just go on a date with Shane? Like, what happened? And Natalie wants to popsy pop some champagne because Shane wants her to be his girlfriend. And then Shayna goes, I'm just like emotionally exhausted.
And then she lays there and she makes that Shayna squinty face like she's trying to see the parking rules sign from far away. Wait, what is no parking from?
Is it 6 to 8?
Does it say 6 to 8 or 3 to 8? I can't say.
Is it 6 a.m. or p.m.? Wait, is it residence only?
It says, do I need a permit? I can't see.
Oh my God, it's handicapped. Ugh.
Oh God, I'm going to have to move.
No fear. They get everything.
And then Shane tells the camera, listen, he's got a lot of feelings for Natalie. He has a deeper connection with Natalie, but he can't ignore the connection that he has with Shayna. Then Shane tells a joke that's been around since 1902. One of the guys was like, are you going to leave here with your wife? And he goes, Nanya. And he's like, what is Nanya business? Do you have a joke book? Do you have the 101 dad joke book?
This man jumps up and down laughing and clapping as though he just did an Alana Glazer sketch.
Nanya, Nanya business.
But also, like, the thing that he just said to Natalie was like, that's it, you're it. Like, leave me my girlfriend. And then in confessional, he literally is like, well, now I also have feelings for Shayna, so I'm gonna have to see how I feel about that.
Yeah, like, it's like, you're the one, except for the other one.
You're the one that is tied with the other one.
Because there's another one. Also, my teeth are fucked up.
So.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get select style selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Now we're on a date with Shayna and Shane, and he immediately asks her,
what are you wearing? Shut the fuck up.
Oh my God.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm wearing like, I'm trying to get her voice. I'm wearing like men's joggers and a crop top.
So hers is much sing-songier.
Hello? I'm wearing joggers and a crop top.
Yeah, it's more of a flippy, whereas like Stacy had more vocal fry. Jessica had more right here. So Shayna is like,
Shayna?
Why? And like open vowels, you know, like,
yeah.
Why?
What?
We're going to have to bump up a tier for the lessons on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And we're going to have to make that like a $200 tier.
So he's like, oh, my God, bro, you're so hot. And then he's like, why are you holding back on me? What's going on with you right now? And she says she doesn't want another failed engagement and she doesn't want to look stupid, honey.
Yeah.
Too late.
He wants two women to get to the point where they are pining after him so bad that he then gets to be the decision maker. This setup is lame. It's a stupid setup.
Yeah, it's so gross. He tells her he needs reassurance and she needs to fight for him. I wrote, this guy sucks so hard. She says she's not going to play second fiddle. And she goes, Natalie says you asked her to be her girlfriend and he doesn't respond. She says, did you say these things to Natalie? And he says,
I love these questions.
What?
He's gaslighting the shit out of her.
Yes.
He is such a dickbag. She's asking fair questions. Listen, I don't like Shayna. She's asking a fair question. Are you serious with Natalie? Is she your girlfriend? Are we still doing this?
Mm-hmm. Although she also says to him, Natalie made sure to tell me that you asked her to be your girlfriend. Bitch, you asked. She walked in and before she could even set foot, you were like, date with Shane? What did you say? What happened? You asked.
Yeah. And he kept being like, why do you care? Who cares?
Oh my God. Ellen?
It was like a doctor came and took Monty's brain and like, why do you care?
Why do you care?
I don't even understand.
I don't understand why you care.
Why do you care that I have another girlfriend that I love?
No, I ask you. It's seriously.
Like, this is stupid. Why do you even care?
She's valid in her questions.
Of course she cares. What are you talking about? Oh my God. Kids, drugs are bad. Don't do brugs.
Don't do brugs.
Don't do brugs or drugs. So then he asks, he's like, is it over? And she's like, well, yeah, if you have a girlfriend. And she leaves, but Netflix does this tricky edit thing where they make it look like she says, I still adore you as she's leaving. And I 100% don't think that that's how it went down, because it doesn't make any sense that she just said she wasn't going to play second fiddle and she didn't want to look stupid. And then as she's leaving the room, she's like, I still adore you. That's Netflix just being like, don't worry.
There's more to come.
We're gonna come back to this.
Now, Shake is talking to Kyle in one of the montage conversations that we see. There's sort of transition moments between couples. Again, I am prone to exaggeration and hyperbolic statements, but this is, I'll say, one of, I won't say the most embarrassing conversations I've seen on TV. It made me feel things. The secondhand embarrassment, like my butt, it went in.
Went
in there like that.
Folded inside of itself.
Yeah. Shake is like, I'm not winning any contest over here with my body. Do you know what I'm saying? And Kyle goes, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. You can tell that none of them like Shake.
And then his reaction, he was like, yeah. It was the most uncomfortable thing. I mean, a very freeing statement is nobody cares about you.
Uh-huh.
It's a very freeing statement.
It's also the worst.
Because we all are overthinking and we think too much about things. And then you're like, you know, nobody cares about you, right? Nobody is thinking about you. But the timing of Kyle and then Shake being like,
nobody cares, bro.
I have to put that on socials. It's so uncomfortable.
Nobody cares. Deep D and some chick named Caitlin are kikiing about Shake. Deep D tells her about the can I put you on my shoulders comment and how gross it was. And Caitlin is like, wait, is he the vet? And Deep D's like, yeah, it would be Dr. and Mrs. whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, but you would also be fucking miserable. So which is more important to you, that you're married to a doctor and you're Dr. and Mrs. or that you aren't miserable?
Right.
Because that seems like an important thing to weigh. In confessional, she says Shake places importance on appearance, but they have other stuff in common that bonds them. We then go on a date with the two of them. These people are so strange. None of the things that happen on this episode make any fucking sense.
Honestly, there's no real through line. I feel like they had a lot of material and it was a lot of good material. It's like when you have to edit something out of a script and you're like, that was really fucking funny. It just like didn't belong, you know?
Yeah.
And they were like, let's make a poo-poo platter and this scene.
But make it look like they're in a business negotiation. So in the pods, she asked Shake if she's ever told him that she lost a ton of weight. And he goes, no.
Listen, they can't see you, my guy. She's gonna see it at some time.
Because you know what's going through his head is like, oh, if you're fat once, you're going to be fat again. I don't want that. But his response is, how am I the only one asking girls these superficial questions? And she goes, uh-huh. And he says he's ashamed and embarrassed and says it's ironic that he's so obsessed with appearance because he was also chubby growing up.
Okay, I gotta give him a point there for realizing that he was a dick and realizing that she handled it well. There's some self-reflection here, okay?
Yeah. He says that because he was uncomfortable with his own body, he would compensate with being with someone who was in good shape. And I guarantee you that he said things to these women like, are you sure you want seconds? Fuck this guy so hard. So he says this experiment is making him think about his own body issues, his own demons. He realizes that he has more issues than he thought. Like, therapy would have been the first move before you went out and looked for a wife, but okay. And then Deep T's like, thank you so much for saying that. I'm so happy you're being vulnerable with me. And he says, you're so confident and strong, and the way you handled it, meaning his fucking tomfoolery, was impressive. And then she was like, I'm not that confident, and I had to do a bunch of self-pep talking after that, so just so you know. And this is when I said they're talking about their potential engagement like it's a business negotiation.
Yeah, I think the potential that we have here is like really great. And I totally see a future with you. And like, you know, I was just waiting to see this like vulnerable side to you.
Like, I think, you know, I think things might really work out with us.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's just very very businesslike, the two of them, the way they speak to each other. And that happens later on, too. So Shayna and Kyle, the elf hobbit, are on a date. She asks him, what are you wearing?
I have thoughts on that. What are your thoughts?
I think I get it that, like, you want to see that you have chemistry and you want to see that, like, he's someone who has a sense of humor that matches with yours. But, like, don't just carbon copy what you're doing with somebody else. It's like she doesn't know how to be like, okay, let's be funny with each other now. She's like, I'm going to do this thing that I do with Shane.
Right. But I think she's doing that because she knows her time with Shane has come to an end. And she's sort of trying to recreate that chemistry that feels good where he's being like, oh, man, I bet you look so hot. And Kyle is a little bit more grounded and a little bit more, you know, dark and silly. So I feel like she's trying to cut copy and paste her relationship and her banter that she has with Shane with Kyle.
100%. In confessional, she tells us that she had strong feelings for Shane, but Natalie expressed her feelings to him, and she says Natalie was claiming her territory. No, bro. She was just telling the guy how she felt.
Yeah.
Not everything is a fucking competition. Natalie telling Shane how she felt about him probably had zero to do with Shayna. But Shayna's like, well, she was trying to get him first.
Right. And so now Shayna's kind of like, okay, let me look back at who's left. Because I really want to stay on this show.
I did care for Shane, but Natalie, she came out very strong with her feelings for Shane. You know, she was claiming her territory. Right now, Kyle's giving me affirmation. I love that he right away, like, he knew it was me that he wanted. Like, what woman doesn't want a man to know right away?
He goes on to say how easy Shayna is to talk to. He didn't go to college, and Shayna's like, yeah, I love that.
Oh, so much.
I love that.
She says that she's vetting him. And I'm like, this is just called getting to know somebody. You're not vetting him. You're just trying to get to know if you like this person enough to meet them in real life. She goes, you're so intellectual and you're like super smart and stuff. But like, it's all about Sky because I'm worried that you're anti-faith. Anti-faith.
Right. Well, you got a charge with me? And Kyle's like, bitch, yeah, I'm an atheist. And Shayna's like twirling her hair. She goes, oh my God, what?
What?
Why?
What?
Why?
Wait, what?
Oh my God.
She's like, what about our cubs? What if we sit down to the table? And he goes, I will fart and burp and ask who's Grace. And she goes, no.
Being Christian is a huge part of my life. When he says he's atheist, she is silent. She's gobsmacked. She can't believe there are people walking these streets who don't go to a Christian church.
This conversation, holy mother of God. First of all, she's like, this is a question I need to ask you. Like, yeah, not what is he fucking wearing. So he's like, you want to know if raising our children in the church is okay? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, ultimately, they'll decide for themselves. And she's like, yeah, but I want to, yeah. Like, he's a grown man.
And then he says, well, I believe in science.
Oh, boy.
I think that Netflix actually put a picture up there and they're just pretending it's a video because she's like...
This conversation is fucking bananas.
I want to know why you're an atheist.
I just believe science.
God is science.
But the science doesn't check out.
Says who?
Says a lot of people.
What? And she really openly admits that she doesn't believe in evolution.
Oh, so you believe like the Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, it's explained. It makes sense.
No, it does. It makes no sense.
So you don't believe in evolution?
I do not believe in evolution, no.
Stop it.
I do not.
That's so fucked up.
Oh my God.
He tries to explain that her beliefs are from a book that some guy wrote. And she's like, some guy? And his beliefs are theories that have been tested and like as proven as they can get. You can't prove that the Big Bang happened, but we're like pretty sure that it fucking happened.
Have you read the Bible? Have you read the Bible?
Have you read the Bible?
And he's like, I mean, bits and pieces. And she's like, you can't know the Bible unless you've read it, the whole Bible.
Over it, I tell Saul's, but I haven't read the Bible. Bitch, you haven't read the Bible. I'm sorry. Shayna has not fucking read the Bible.
No, you haven't read the Bible.
And also, there are a lot of atheists who actually have read the Bible. Like, seriously?
The Bible. Good book. Great book. Put it on your shelf. Read whatever you want. Yeah, you can't live life. I'm trying to read the Bible. She is a short circuit. She can't believe there are people who have not read the Bible and who are not Christian.
She cannot wrap her head around it.
What else are you? What else are you? What are the other? What is another religion, though? Like, name another religion other than Christianity.
I mean, this is such a red flag for this relationship. I think that people with differing beliefs can totally make it work. But you can believe in God. That's fine. But you can't say things like, says who, when you're talking about science. Like, you just can't do that. Because I can then bring you to an entire library devoted to that one thing and be like, all of these people say who.
It never ceases to amaze me. Like, I'm genuinely shocked every time someone says something. And I think to myself, just because you say it doesn't mean it's true. You know that, right?
Yeah. Just because you read it in a book that you don't even know who the author of is, doesn't mean that it's true. And here's the thing. She can run around going, oh my God, you're humming out of the Bible. But I guarantee you that she has never read anything about the Big Bang Theory or ever. Like, she hasn't read any Neil deGrasse Tyson. She hasn't read any fucking Stephen Hawking. Like, she hasn't read a pamphlet about evolution. And she's going to run around saying, you can't be an atheist unless you've read the Bible. These two need to pull the escape lever right this minute.
These are two people who desperately just want to be on this show.
And then he tells us in confessional that she has extreme views on religion. No, she doesn't. She has pretty basic Christian views that God created people and the universe and everything in it. Like, that's just like a basic, like when you enter church for the first time, they're like, do you believe these two things?
Right. What would your church believe if you had a church?
Just fucking leave everyone alone.
Don't you call Dear Daisy church when you record Dear Daisy on Sundays?
Oh, no, I've never even put it two together. That's how unreligious I am.
Somebody said that. I think Ashley said that. Ashley's like, I can't. I'm in church. She was in your Sunday show.
Oh, I love that. But it's more of a coven than a church.
Right. Absolutely.
Kyle is done. Kyle's like, look, I thought this could work, but it can't. And we're too opposite from each other. In confessional, he tells us that he could fall in love with her, but they're such polar opposites and it scares him, which it should. He should be running away.
Polar opposites doesn't attract. No, it doesn't. It doesn't work. Paula Abdul should pull that song.
No. But he says to her, maybe I floated away for a little bit, but now I'm grounded. He's like, we're done. So Shane is two for two.
Okay, so now Shake is here. He is really digging deep, and he's really ashamed for his superficial take on everything and his past and women.
He has come a long way in the last 2 days.
In one episode, yeah.
He has really changed his sort of core perception of women.
Belief system, yeah. He says that it's sort of comforting dating someone in a culture. There's a certain kind of understanding since they're both Indian. They share their ideas and we have their little love montage. You know, they're talking about kids and work, and he's really excited about this future with Deep D. And out of the actual blue sky above, he proposes.
Yeah, I wrote, and then, oh my God, he's fucking proposing. He's like, you know, yesterday I wouldn't have gone for this girl, but today she's really changed my mind. Will you marry me?
I have nothing to back this up. I kind of think because we know people fall in love with her on this show. She's so real, calm. She's very even keeled. She gets along with everyone. I wonder if he spun his bullshit through all the other women and they were like, nana. And Deep D was the only one that gave him a second chance because she's that big hearted.
I literally wrote the same thing. I said, she is the only one who gave him a second chance. That is it.
He had to have fucked everything up because they go on their dates and they tell people who they want to see again. Because remember, Ayana's like, no, Shake, no, Shane.
Yeah.
And I wonder if she's like the only one. And he was probably so taken aback that he was like, wait, am I that much of a dick?
He had to sort of like retrofit everything.
Recalibrate.
Yeah, it's wild. But again, to me, his proposal is very businesslike and her response is pretty businesslike. And I started to think, like, is this a cultural thing?
It is a cultural thing for sure. I've talked about that with Rabia before.
Okay.
I mean, obviously she's Pakistani, but like there are some Asian cultures where emotion isn't really a part of it.
Yeah.
My Botox guy, who I love, who I've been going to for forever, Dr. Shaw, he was the first person in his family, his entire extended family, not to have an arranged marriage. Now, in modern times, you know. Wow. And Dr. Shaw, he's a plastic surgeon. His wife is a photographer, and she was disowned by her family.
Wow.
You can be a doctor. And if you want to disappoint us, you can be a lawyer. Because Rabia was a disappointment to her family. She was in medical school for a year and then she dropped out. It's like, you're going to be a lawyer? Really? A lawyer? Oh, yeah, you could be a doctor or an engineer. Those are your two choices. And she wanted to be a photographer and her family disowned her. Also, I probably know way too much about my Botox guy, but we talk a lot. He's very sweet.
Yeah, you do know a lot about him, but I like that about you. So he's like, I'm going to ask you to approach the wall. We've never seen a tear from either of these people. We've never heard an I love you, although that's going to happen again later with another couple. Everybody celebrates back in the quarters. And now we're with Jarrett and Ayana. And he's like, is there an absolute deal breaker in a relationship? And she's like, cheating. Any form of cheating. I don't give a fuck. Any form of cheating. And then he asks her if she has any traumas that she's still working through.
Does he say trauma or does he say baggage?
No, he says trauma.
Okay.
And I think he uses that word because we're about to learn about his too. And I think he's kind of like, okay, now this is the part where we're going to talk about our trauma. So she opens up that she was sexually assaulted when she was 17. And she said her heart is healed, but sometimes her body remembers it. And it's made her very selective of the people she chooses to have around her. And this is probably why she's not very touchy-feely about the making out. She says she has trust issues, which makes perfect sense given her childhood, like her mom giving her up and then her aunt giving her up. And she says, you know, I really trust you and I understand you. And this is when he opens up about what happened with him, what he called his traumatic incident in the ICU.
Right. Jarrett explains that almost a year ago, he almost lost his life. He said a close friend in him had had some issues, some long-standing beef. And that friend stabs him. He explains that he doesn't remember anything.
And he woke up in the ICU. And Ayana is really hit hard by this. And she's crying. And I am also crying. And I find her to be so, I mean, look, I have a crush on her, so whatever. But she's just so like gentle and kind and good. And I just want to protect her at all costs.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And she says she doesn't have anything else to think about. It's him. And then he really very honestly straight up tells her like he's still going back and forth between her and Mallory.
I mean, maybe a little gentler would have been beneficial, but I appreciate his honesty.
I know. I had the same reaction. I was like, you know, it's actually refreshing that he's just being honest. It might have been nicer if he'd been like, I think you're so great. And like, this is a really tough experiment.
Yeah. A little bit of the rounded edges.
Yeah. Shane really needs to take a lesson, by the way, in what an emotional roller coaster is, because that date that we just experienced was an emotional roller coaster. Not Shane being like, what do you want? Mallory and Jarrett are on a date. And he's basically like, I realize that we completely skipped over the basics of each other. Like, what do you do for work? And who fucking cares? And it's the most boring thing that ever happened. You know, he says he's a hustler and he wants a wife who's business minded so that they can make sure their kids are set. She tells him she owns a home and he is very impressed by this information. And we find out she has a German Shepherd and she's a cuddler.
Are you a cuddler?
Not really.
Are you not?
No, I'm really kind of like a dude when it comes to like sex. I'm kind of like, can we just, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I am too. I'm only a cuddler with very few people, but I'm not a cuddler to sleep. Get the fuck away from me.
Oh, God, no. Ugh.
Like, move to Tibet. Go as far away from me as possible.
Yeah, especially because I sweat so much. I'm just like, don't even look at me. So back in the men's quarters, Kyle is making his heathen tea and Shane is playing pool by himself, which he seems to perpetually be doing when he isn't gaslighting women. And Sal is teaching some guy to play the ukulele.
Also, can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. I love instruments. I love singers. I just feel like anyone who has already learned the ukulele, continue on. Keep going playing the ukulele. But like, I feel like moving forward, we should evolve. And all of the ukuleles will eventually end up in the ocean with the Godspell scores.
I had an ex who lived in Hawaii for 2 years or a year or something.
Hawaii is off limits. You can play it in Hawaii. Unless you're playing Hawaiian music.
I agree.
Please don't start playing like the opening riffs of Wonderwall and expect me to join in. Okay.
But this ex kept referring to it as an ukulele.
No.
And I was like, no, please, nope, don't. And they kept saying it over and over and over again. And I could tell that they wanted me to be like, oh, is that really how it's pronounced? I never knew that. But I just ignored it and just let them say ukulele 500 fucking times.
No. You can go hang out with Mallory while she says tequila.
So in confessional, Mallory tells us that she has connections with both Sal and Jarrett. Jared is more vocal about seeing her as a wife, but she wants to stay open. And then she says that she's really scared. And then she doesn't elaborate on that.
Of the ukulele?
I'm scared of the ukulele.
Well, she's bouncing back and forth. You couldn't find two more different guys, Jared and Sal, right? Jared is a fuckboy partier, and Sal sings opera, plays the ukulele, and wears salmon-colored shirts.
Yes, they are about as further from the opposite as people can be.
Right, so you're choosing two totally different lives and scenarios here.
Yeah, I can see that it would be hard to differentiate those two.
Yeah, to differentiate.
Mallory and Sal talk about what the experience has been like. It's very fast, but it's very deep. And he says he feels like he's falling for her and it's scary. And then he plays her the ukulele. And I have to say that the song is very sweet.
Okay, here's my take. I want to explain my emotional journey, if I may. He's sitting there talking about his feelings, saying how, you know, scared they are, which I think is really rich because my fear came from when they panned down and there was a ukulele. Okay, so I thought that was weird. Now, he goes ahead and plays said ukulele. Putting myself in Mallory's shoes, I would feel like as the receiver, I would naturally be like, oh my God, like that's so sweet. But being anything but the receiver of a ukulele single
serenade,
it feels incorrect. And she's like, it's so sweet. Her face is so red. I think she's red from embarrassment. I'm not sure.
I agree.
And listen, I sit in a very comfy spot on my pink couch in my house on my couch of judgment and say how cringe it is. But the fact is, if someone were to sit with a ukulele and sing me a song, I would probably be a puddle of mush.
Well, that is interesting because this same ex who said ukulele also once sat on the bed and like played the guitar at me like they do in the Barbie movie. And I wanted to kill myself.
Right. You wanted to disappear yourself.
I wanted to kill myself the entire fucking time. It was probably the worst experience I've ever gone through, ever in my whole life. So I get it. I get that Mallory's kind of like embarrassed. And also you kind of just want to be like, stop. Dude. No, please don't. Oh my God. I hate all of this. Oh God.
Yeah, please stop. Is that a ukulele? I thought those were in the ocean with the Godspell script. Actually, we have a clip of it.
A long, long time ago, there was a volcano living all alone in the middle of the sea.
Do you know that?
Yeah, from that little short before Moana. Oh my God. Puddle. Forget it. Mess.
Puddle. And my friend Andrew Bredas, you know Andrew Bredas.
Yeah.
Andrew Bredas will die before he will say anything nice about that song. He thinks it is an assault to humanity. He hates it.
Why?
I actually don't know. Let's call him. He will have a visceral reaction.
This is an ass style.
Okay. Totally random, but we're talking about you on the podcast.
Oh my God, what's up?
Do you guys know Andrew? He has a very funny TikTok and he has a series called Does Gen Z Know? Okay, I have a really serious question. All right, I just told this story. What song in your mind is the most cringe song to ever grace Disney ever?
Disney, like the animation?
Disney or Pixar?
Lava.
I literally just told this story. Okay, why? I haven't talked to Andrew for like a year. Like, I literally have not talked to him. Okay, why? Just explain yourself in 30 seconds or less.
Disclaimer, I would love to work for Pixar and Disney as a writer, so this is just all in good jest. I think that it is a short about a man who, I call it lava bombing, he love bombs her. He basically love bombs this woman that's near him and guilts her into loving him by sinking into the ocean and destroying an entire ecosystem of happy animals and birds and plants, all because she refuses to call him back. And then he has to go all the way under the water surface before she's like, okay, I love you. And he's like, I'm back. It's toxic.
You just won the day. I love you. You won the day. Bye.
That was terrific.
I haven't talked to him for like a year. Okay. How fucking funny was that timing? Come on.
It was really, really, really good. You know, Mallory says it was the nicest thing that anyone has ever done for her. And she needs better people in her life.
You need to have other things done to you.
Yikes. So now we're in the tunnel of love. Deep Dee and Shake are in their antechamber. Shake tells us that he's so grateful he met Deep Dee because now he's a better person.
Daisy, did you see the way he walked into the tunnel of love? He looked like an alien who was taught how to walk like a human.
Yesterday? Yeah, yeah.
They're like, listen, if you're going to live on planet Earth, this is how humans walk. And he's like, but I'm an alien. And they're like, no, no, no. You have to do your best to blend
in. You have to blend.
Daisy, I can't. He walks like this.
Yes! He swings the same leg with the same arm.
He walks like, he's like, am I doing this right, boss? I have never seen anything like it.
So nothing about what he says about Deep Dee is what she's like, how she makes him feel. He says she's terrific or fantastic or some other vague thing, but like, is she smart? Is she funny? Is she kind? This is where I wrote it. Or is she literally the only person who gave you a second fucking chance?
We never had anything to corroborate that theory, but theories have gone through with less, so I'm going with it.
I feel terrible for Deep Dee right now. Even if I didn't know what was going to eventually play out, I think the worst fucking thing that a woman with body image issues can do is get into a relationship with someone who is preoccupied with fucking women's bodies. Because she will spend the rest of her life worried about, what if I gain weight? What if he doesn't like this thing about my body? What if he doesn't like that thing about my body? She is walking into a trap with her eyes open, and I don't understand why she's doing this.
As soon as I see her, it's gonna be two hands. Boom. I already let her know. From here on out, she's within a 2-mile radius from me. That booty is not safe.
She says she's terrified. And I get that in a situation like this, like you're about to meet this person that you're already engaged to and you've never seen them before, you'd be nervous. But terror?
And Deep Dee knows. Deep Dee is not ignoring the fact that he does focus on the physical, but I think she's just hoping for the best.
I know. Ugh.
I really do. I think she's giving him the benefit of her doubt, and she really doesn't know how deep this goes.
No.
So the doors open to the tunnel of love, and Shake's eyes widen, and he says, holy shit. He's like, oh my God. And he's all over her.
Yeah, he squeezes her ass like it's one of those stress balls where when you squeeze it, like it pops out of like the little bag that it's in.
Both of them. Two hands.
Yeah, yeah. Two hands. Squeeze. Like, not like a little, ooh, like a.
Yeah. You know when you have like a little baby tushy? Like a little baby tushy, and you're like, oh, I want the little baby tushy. But like, it's a grown ass woman and it's not a baby tushy.
No. I love butts. I think butts are great.
I love baby butts. Little baby butts.
Well, I love adult butts because I'm a grown up. Yeah, I want to feel your ass, but I'm not going to, like, what are you doing? She's not a stress ball, but she loves it. She tells us in confessional that she loved it.
I also just want to say one thing, and I really, listen, as we said on our last episode, we went to the business school of analyzer of the United States of analyzing
human behavior.
Behavior analyzers. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have to say, I love Deep Dee. I think she's awesome. I love that she wears bright colors. She is wearing these chunky heels with this dress. You know, I love to make up a whole narrative in my mind. It's as if she was going into the tunnel of love and her heel broke. And she was like, oh my God, does anyone have a change of shoes? And one of the craft services girl was like, yeah, I have these old chunky sandals. You can borrow. They're chunky and they're all stretched out. She's like, I just need something. I can't go out there barefoot.
I've got my slippers. I've got my like weird slippers with the chunky heel. Oh my God.
That's what I felt about those scenes.
I think you are exactly correct.
They were mismatched, ill-placed. They were the total wrong style. They were what you would wear to the boardwalk, or they were like, we're not shooting knees or below. You don't have to worry about your shoes. And she was like, oh, seriously? Okay, then I'm just gonna wear these.
It's amazing she didn't wear like Uggs.
It's like when I wear slippers to drive Lola to school, like actual house slippers. And they're like, don't even worry, we're shooting.
It's fine. No, those shoes are great.
Yeah, it's offensive. And I love her. I just want to say that I know the backstory. So whoever's coming for her about that, there's a whole backstory that you don't know.
Oh, okay. About the shoes.
That I just shared. Yeah.
Well, now they know. So he gets down on his knees and he actually does something incredibly fucking sweet. He touches her feet in the traditional way. She had mentioned in the pods that, like, she's not going to be touching her husband's feet at the wedding because fuck that shit. And he's like, yes, I'm with you. So he touches her feet to show that they're equal or whatever. It's very, very sweet.
I was like, yeah, maybe we're seeing the evolution of a man. Listen, Clay will forever be my litmus test for my capability to think that someone can change right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we're watching this show for the first time. We've never seen it before. So maybe he's changed.
Yeah, I've never seen it before. Maybe he has really made a complete 180. He gives her a ring. They go into the antechamber to get to know each other. She says he's very cute. And then in confessional, he utters the most confusing sentence that has ever been uttered. Even though I've dated a lot of blonde girls and white girls in the past, Deep D is just perfect. My guy, Deep D being perfect has nothing to do with your internalized racism.
It's a lot.
Then he tells her he's gonna get her pregnant.
There's a lid for every pot. Different people like different turn of phrases.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever makes you happy. If a man said that to me, I would throw up on his shoes.
I had to go to Best Buy and get a new computer because I vomited so hard all over my computer that it broke it.
It's funny you say that you broke your computer because I actually got the keys to my car. I got in my car. I drove it into a brick wall.
Yeah.
And now I don't have a car. So I'm going to have to go car shopping.
I took the sharpest knife that I have and I put it on the stove until it was blazing hot. And I just sliced my leg off right above the knee. That's how angry I was.
Yeah. That seems like you would need a medical professional. He said that. And then I was like, you know what? I never really liked this house anyway. And I torched my house.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm moving to Des Moines
tomorrow. Well, we all make, you know, choices.
It's called commitment to the bit, okay?
I do hope that he has become a new man and gotten over shit about appearance because I have some bad news. Once she has all those kids that you say you want her to have, her body's not going to look like it does now. So you better let that shit fucking go. Everybody just please hold on to whatever you have near you to keep you from exiting this planet for this next fucking train wreck that is coming. Kyle tells us in confessional that in the past he's been way too harsh on people and too stubborn, but he realizes now that the ultimate goal is who he can be happiest with, and Shayna is that person.
This has to be a setup from Netflix. What season did they do only three couples with?
Wasn't it six, five? Where are we?
I think five. I think they might have been panicking that they didn't have enough content, and they're like, bro, listen, can you just propose to Shayna?
This is crazy.
It's so out of the blue. These people have like a weaker connection than my original AOL Wi-Fi. So weird.
He says, am I going to throw away what I have with Shayna because we disagree on religion? Dude, she literally says she doesn't believe in science. This is not it.
I have never felt so deeply connected to religion that I feel like it's a deal breaker, right? And I know multiple religion households, but it is complicated. I know lots of pizza bagel families.
Yes.
It's a weird thing. Are you cool having a Christmas tree in your house? Are you cool having a menorah in your house?
Well, and also, like, do you actually think he's gonna go to hell? But that's like a real thing. Like, when I was married to that fucking jabroni from Alabama, they thought I was going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Right.
So she comes into the pods and he's acting like he didn't just break up with her yesterday. He is acting like nothing happened. There is no like, hey, like, that was a lot. Like, I needed some time to think. There is a ring box on the ottoman, and she is very rightfully confused. She's also the most aware of the cameras than anybody who's ever been on the show, but she mouths, oh my God.
And then she turns into stone. You know, in Return to Oz, also, we should like watch that movie. Do you remember how scary that movie was?
Yes. She's so confused, and she's like, aren't you worried that our core values don't align? This is nuts. He hasn't apologized, he hasn't acknowledged anything. Like, he could be like, hey, I'm sorry about the way we left things last night. I thought about it and like I realized how happy you make me. But instead he says, I will never find that perfect person where everything aligns perfectly. And she's like, yeah, but these are really big things. And he says it doesn't change how much love he has for her, which is not the issue. You can love her until the cows come home. But the most important thing to her is her Christianity.
It all has to be a setup. It all has to be a setup.
Oh my God.
Then he's like, in that box, you will find my mother's wedding ring.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. She says, aren't you worried that this is going to combust? And he says, we have to risk it because I don't want to have any regrets. And she literally makes a stank face.
This is not it. This is the most mismatched couple there's ever been. And I thought that watching it the first time through.
Yeah.
It's like when you are picking teams and you're like, at the end, it's between Daisy and Cuddly Sheep. I'm like, well, the sheep doesn't have hands, but and Daisy's, I mean, the sheep. But, you know, it's like,
right.
Yeah, because the sheep could play center field, you know?
You know what? To be honest, I'm with you on that one, because I would just curl up into a fetal position and cry.
Yeah, you have shaky hands. You're Jewish.
You know? So he's like, do you see that ring box? And she's like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Yes. And he's like, can you pick it up? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. She is looking at it like rats are about to come out of it. And then he says that it's his mother's engagement ring. You remind me so much of my mother. Ellen, what is happening?
And then he opens up the tree that he grew up in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, here's me, mama. And it was a little elf.
A little Keebler elf.
She was there and she was like, why did you take my ring? And she's like, okay, you're back in the tree, Mima. And then he put her back in the tree, in her elf tree.
Go back in the tree. Yep. He says, she makes me the happiest and I want someone who resembles her. Listen, there are things about Kurt that remind me of my father. And those are things that I try to not see. Those are things that I'm like, it's fine. There's also all of these other things that are much better. I love my dad. I don't want to be married to my fucking dad.
Oh, thank you.
What is happening?
I also know someone that reminds me of my dad, and his name's Houdini. Where is that guy?
He says, will you open your box? Will you open your box? Not to you, you fucking mother-loving elf hobbit.
So he asks her to marry him.
And Ellen, she says no, of course.
Yeah, she says no, because that's the responsible thing to do. JK, she says, yas, yas.
Where am I? She looks like someone just told her she has cancer.
Well, she starts crying, and she's not crying because she is happy. She's crying because she wanted Shane.
She keeps looking around at the cameras.
She looks like she's going to throw up. She's like, is it normal to throw up?
I literally wrote, she looks like she threw up in her mouth.
Yeah. Does anyone else want to go throw up with me, Rofaz? I don't want to put on the ring because I'm going to throw up on it. I'm going to take a throw up break.
She is holding that ring like it is radio fucking active. I don't think either of them have said I love you. And then he's just like, well, okay, bye, beautiful.
It's so strange.
The level of stupidity on display in this scene is beyond.
Yeah, and they're just like, see you later. Okay.
Okay, bye. So she was wearing pants and a crop top for this engagement. And then we see an empty confessional chair and she enters wearing a red dress and fully crying. And the producer's like, why are you crying? And she says she doesn't want to make another mistake and have another failed engagement.
Oh, you know what, Daisy? Real quickly, I made a quick call to Netflix this morning.
Yeah.
And I actually got some edited raw footage. Do you want to hear that?
Yeah, please, please, please.
Well, the producer says, you know, why are you crying? And she was like, I really like Shane and my backup was Kyle. And then Shane was going to run off with Natalie. And now I'm going to have to be with my backup or I'm not going to be able to be on this show. And I'm blonde, I'm pretty, and I'm not supposed to be the backup. Did Shane even know she's not blonde? I am a 10. And that, and it makes me want to cry for Shane because he's not going to get a chance to know how pretty I am. And now I'm going to have Keebler elf babies. Thank you, Netflix. Thank you.
Wow. I'm surprised they didn't air that because that would make some very, very, very good television.
It was a copyright thing with Keebler elf.
Oh, because of Keebler.
Yeah. So, but I got that.
That makes sense. Yeah. She knows that she doesn't have to say yes, right? Like she is acting like someone told her, we will kill your mother unless you say yes to this man.
Yeah.
I guess she just really wants to go to Mexico. She says, am I making the same mistake? I don't know. I do. I know. I do know. I know. Can you pick me? Pick me. Back in the men's quarters, Shane asks the gray-haired guy to pump him up. And the guy goes, you're going to do great. Nobody likes Shane or Shake. Shane and Shake should go off and fuck each other.
For different reasons. Shane basically says that Natalie went out there and made him feel secure.
Yep.
Which she did.
Yeah. She liked him first.
She fed his ego. And that's all that Shane needs. All men need are water, air, and their ego stroked. Also, sometimes their dicks, but mostly their egos. And Shane is ready to propose.
He is 100% bro ready to propose. He goes into the pods and launches into this.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. You know, so I'm trying to think of all of my thoughts and emotions about how I feel. And when I think about this whole experience, it's like this is exactly how I feel like we were supposed to meet. Are you okay?
I'm good. So...
Is it Shayna?
Yeah.
Ellen, he did it again.
I saw Christ and all the apostles mixed up in the tornado from Kansas that Dorothy Gale got stuck in. Because how did you do this again?
He did it again. Were the producers punking him?
They had to have. They had to have. They're like, he did it once. Let's make him do it again.
He didn't know that he probably had a fucking schedule to, oh, now I go on a date with Shayna. He did it again.
Yeah. And honestly, she pours her heart out. Well, listen, probably would have regretted not saying something. So she had to say something.
She says, let me just say something. And she's like, I want you to know that I have deep feelings for you. And Shane is pouring sweat.
He says this.
No, God, please. No, 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 no.
Actually, no, this is really what he says.
Fuck.
Which you can't say it better than that, Daisy.
He's literally panting. His mouth is more agape than it has ever been, ever.
It's like when I take my cats to the vet and they're like, like they're in the car and they can't take it. Yeah.
Yes. He starts pacing the room with his hands behind his back like a cartoon character making a secretary take a memo. Like this man is having a meltdown. And he goes, what the fuck? My dude, the fuck is that you're an idiot? The fuck is that you are an incredible grade A class one fucking moron? Absolute baloney fucking sandwich.
A big one. We leave it on a cliffhanger. But if they would have just shut the fuck up,
all they had to do.
That's all you have to do sometimes.
All you have to do.
Sometimes there's no answer. The answer is just shutting the fuck up. I don't understand why people don't listen to us.
We need to make a billboard in Times Square. Just stop. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. So many problems would be solved.
Oh my God.
If one party just shut the fuck up. Thank you everyone for joining us on Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. I am Ellen Marsh and that is Daisy Egan. Please, we are on a general feed. We're going to be dropping, what are we dropping? Season 1 or 6?
I don't know. I've blacked out at this point.
I don't know. But we're on a general feed right now with Grab Bag. But check us out soon. We're making a Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey general feed.
Because
we have some big surprises coming to you in the fall. Yes, that's right. I said the fall. Get into it. Listen to our other podcasts. Follow us on social media. That's the best way you can support us. And listen, even if you don't listen to those podcasts, here's a secret. Just download them. Just download them.
It helps.
It does. It really does. Until then, I love you, Daisy Egan, but I would like you to shut the fuck up.
I love you too. You have to shut the fuck up.
Love you. Bye. Then Jane, wait, who's Jane? Jane? We never even said that word.
Who's Jane?
Oh God, okay.